I want to ask you a question. Have you ever found yourself praying for comfort? Have you ever really found yourself like praying, Lord, Lord, help me be comfortable. I want to help me get through this discomfort, only to realize that true growth only comes from discomfort. Have you ever thought about that? Let me ask that again. Have you ever found yourself in discomfort and praying to the Lord for comfort? Like, Lord, would you please make me comfortable? Would you please take away all of the discomfort that I'm going through right now? Has it ever been you? I know it's been me before. But have you ever prayed that only to realize that true growth comes from going through the discomfort? Did you know that faith is really built through the discomfort? Because if he's always coming to save you, then you will never grow. We're about to talk about it. What's going on, everybody? It's me. It's Pastor Will, a.k.a. Will. And welcome to the Soul Fuel podcast. This is the very first episode. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that you decided to stop in for a listen. And I pray that you get something out of this talk, because this is real. This is real. We all go through things in life that push us into fear. And whenever we have fear-based prayers, it does not help us, as I believe the Lord does not answer fear-based prayers because, for one, he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. But when it comes to this discomfort, we have a habit of wanting to get out of it fast. We have this desire to shake all of the discomfort so that we can be comfortable and continue to live life as we deem we're supposed to live it. But I just want to read this article. I want to read just this little piece of this article from treatmyocd.com. And it's a blog post by Stacy Quick. And it says, as a therapist, when I first meet someone new for treatment, I start by saying that discomfort and anxiety are just feelings. That a preach. Not unlike any other feelings. Anxiety in and of itself is not bad. It can even be very important when it works properly. It can teach us what might not be safe. Discomfort helps us to learn to decipher what we value, what we want, and what we would like to avoid. Watch this. OCD. We know what OCD is, right? And if you don't, that's okay, because I'm gonna read it. Obsessive compulsive disorder hijacks these useful, important feelings and distorts them. OCD sets off the alarm system of anxiety when, in fact, there is no real threat. This false alarm creates a strong urge to act in response to it. This only allows OCD to be reinforced whenever the false threat is perceived again. And instead of discomfort being embraced for all the good things it can do for us, OCD causes people to avoid discomfort entirely and blocks them from doing the things they actually want and enjoy. Does it make sense? This is crazy. And this is what therapists call distress intolerance. Distress intolerance. People with OCD often believe that they simply cannot tolerate distress or anxiety. And again, they call this distress intolerance. One of the most important parts of OCD treatment is teaching an individual that they can, in fact, tolerate anxiety and distress. You may not like it, but you can get through it. That's all I wanted to take from the article. That is from a therapist. Ladies and gentlemen, saints and ain'ts, believers and unbelievers, whoever's listening to me right now. The doctor says you may not like it, but you can get through it. See, OCD is spiritual. I know we like to look at all this stuff as science, but it's really spiritual. It really is. It's a trick of the enemy to get into your mind to play things and make them bigger than what they actually are. Than what they actually are. And we're called to get comfortable in discomfort. Right? We're called to get comfortable in discomfort. And I want to read this scripture right here because this is a main scripture. And I want y'all to see scripture as a script, right? We have a role to play. And our role to play is a believer. Our role to play, we're to mimic Christ in that reality. While everybody else is playing dress up and being whatever they want to be, Christians often personalize Jesus to the point where we try to make him look like us when we're supposed to look like him, love like he did, have compassion like he did, right? And so with that being said, Jesus got comfortable in his discomfort. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But here's the script that we're supposed to follow. The entire Bible is a script because it's scripture. Can I say that? It's a script. It really is. No, what did Rock used to say? The Rock in wrestling, those of you that ever watched wrestling when I was growing up, you know, he's called Dwayne The Rock Johnson today. And he's a mega superstar actor, but he was a wrestler. That's how he got into it. And he used to say this one thing, know your role and shut your mouth. That's what he said. He said, know your role and shut your mouth. And so what I'm saying to you today is that we have to know our role, shut our mouths to the complaints, and open up our mouths to speak the lines that we need to speak so that we can be confident. We can be confident in this walk, right? But Brother James says this, the brother of Jesus, in chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. I love this. I love these lines so much. And it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy. You got to count it all joy. Be of good cheer, Jesus said. I believe that's John chapter 16, verse 33. I believe Jesus says in John chapter 16, be of good cheer. And why does he say be of good cheer? Well, he says that because he says you shall have tribulation. No doubt about it. You are definitely going to go through some things. You are definitely going to have to endure some things. You know, you're going to have to go through the things that makes life life. Right? You may have issues on your job. You may have issues with your children. You might be a child and you may be having issues with your parents. All of us, everybody that's listening to this podcast, you're a child, right? You're a child of somebody, whether you knew your parents or not, you're a child of somebody. And the fact of the matter is, you have had to endure things throughout your life. Throughout your life. But James calls us to count everything as joy. Count everything as joy. He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. When you fall into diverse temptations. What does that mean? Well, it means different situations. And I'll read it from the NASB. That was King James Version I was just reading, but I'll read it from the NASB. Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. There's that discomfort. All of our trials are discomforting. We're not going to be comfortable with everything that happens to us. And not even just to us, because what's happening to us is really happening for us. If we look at it that way. But we have to know that when we consider it all joy, we're under the understanding that all of these various trials that we encounter is the testing of our faith. And we should know that the test is producing endurance. The test is producing our ability to stay steadfast, unmovable. And this endurance is patience. We went back to the King James Version. It would say the testing of our faith is producing patience. And so we have to let patience have its perfect result. We have to let patience have its perfect work so that we may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Come on. Y'all got, are you getting this? Lacking in nothing. You can't lack in nothing. When your patience is having her perfect work. See, if patience is working, then we're able to be comfortable in our discomfort. I want you to see something with the word patience real quick. I want you to really understand this. The definition of patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without, here's the key, without getting angry or upset. Without getting angry or upset. You have to know this. It's your ability. Not just an ability, but how much of an ability, the capacity to accept, the amount of space to accept. And watch this, when you really mimic Jesus. Because it's not just the mimicking as an act, but it's something that is perpetuated through the Spirit that lives on the inside, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us that influences our behavior. And the more that we lean on the Spirit and not to our own understanding, we're able to grow in our capacity to accept and tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. This is key. This is what patience does. When you let patience be what she's going to be. I love how King James personifies patience as a she. It's delicate. It's delicate. Patience. Let her have her perfect work. Let patience have its perfect work. Let it have its perfect result in your life so that you may be perfect, so that you may be mature. Mature. When you are mature, you're able to not complain about the things that you must go through in this life. So that you are what? Lacking nothing. See, when patience is when patience is having her perfect work, when patience is doing what it's supposed to do in your life, you are complete, you are whole. See, this is a part of being holy. This is what it really means to be holy, that no matter what happens, no matter who comes, no matter who goes, I'm still going to remain good. It's not going to affect the way I move. It's not going to affect the way that I behave, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I'm able to be patient. If I'm able to be patient, then that means I'm able to be still. I'm able to be still and know that he is God. I hope this is making sense for you. And that you could just, this is the beautiful thing about a podcast. You can literally just go back and re-listen, right? But when patience is, again, having its perfect work, its perfect result, you may be mature. You may be mature and complete. Complete meaning being whole. And this is how you're truly able to live a holy and separated life. This is how you're really actually able to live holy, because you're complete. You've learned how to be still. You've learned how to be patient without complaint. Your capacity has been increased to accept or tolerate delay or trouble, no matter what it is, or suffering. Because we know that long suffering is a what? It's a fruit of the Spirit. So when we're letting patience have a perfect work, it's literally the Holy Spirit working within us, because we couldn't do it by ourselves. We can't do it by ourselves. No, we will screw it up every single time. But when you are complete, you're lacking in nothing. So again, whoever leaves, whoever comes, whoever goes, guess what? I'm not banking on you. I'm not betting on you, because there's a possibility that you can fail. There's a possibility that you're going to fail me. You're going to fail. There's a possibility that man will fail you, especially if they don't know the Lord. They are definitely going to fail you. But we have to be encouraged to know that we have to consider it pure, nothing but pure joy when we face these trials, as the testing of our faith produces perseverance. And here's what I want to say about that, about the testing of our faith. When we were children, when we went to school, even for some of you that may be in school, at no matter what age you are, it's never too late to go back to school, right? But if you just happen to be in high school, if you happen to be in college, or in school for anything, tech school, for you, the typical 4-year institution, whatever it is that you're doing, right? Whatever it is that you're going to school for, you go to school. And I actually want you to see this from a perspective of when you were in middle school and high school. I want you to see it from that, because when we went to school, we went to learn. And doesn't matter if it's high school, again, high school, college, or whatever, middle school, whatever. You went to school to learn. You were taught from a curriculum that was designed to teach you the basics of what you would need, right? And throughout, from age, 4 or 5 to 18, within these 12 years of school or schooling, you had to take tests in the middle of all of it. You had to take tests, right? And as you took the test, there's something that you had to realize. You didn't have control over the test. You don't have control over what's on the test. The only thing you have control over is knowing what you were taught. Because you're not given anything in a test that you weren't taught. All of your homework, all of your classwork, everything, every single thing. Every single thing that was on that test, you were taught. This is a fact. You know it. So when you look at the test, it's either going, it's only going to be unfamiliar to you if you didn't show up, or if you didn't read, if you didn't pay attention in class. But it's up to you if you pass the test or not, based upon your study. And so it's the same way with our faith. We know what we're required to do. We know what our response should be based upon scripture. We understand our role based upon the script, which is the scripture. We know what it is. So why are we getting bent out of shape and failing tests when we know what's going to be on it? For there is no temptation that is uncommon to man. There is no test that is going to happen to you that hasn't already happened to somebody before. We know it. So we can count on it being on the test. The various trials are the different tests, but the various trials we can only be aware of if we know what we're against. And scripture has always told us, Jesus told us what we would be against. Jesus showed us. He showed us. He let us know. And again, in that scripture that I mentioned minutes ago, is that we will have tribulation. There's no doubt about it. We will have it. You can't escape it. You will have trials. This is why James comes back to say that we ought to consider it all joy when we face the trials, as the testing of our faith produces perseverance. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, speaks about rejoicing in our sufferings because suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Throughout scripture, throughout the Bible, there's so many figures that demonstrated faith and growth through discomfort. There's a lot of people that grew through discomfort. Job persevered. Paul was content in his various circumstances. If you read through the book of Acts, this man was tossed through jails. He did a jail tour. You got to know this. We must understand this thing that they call distress intolerance. Have to examine the scripture. Examine scripture that is written. How can we cope with distress How can we? How can you? Well, when we rely on the Lord's strength, when we rely on the Lord's strength, like 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And this is Paul. Paul writing to the Corinthian church. Verse 9, he says, "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. For my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" And then Paul says this, "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in distresses, in persecutions, in difficulties in behalf of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." When I am weak, then I'm strong. If I'm going through issues with my job, if I'm going through issues with my job, I have to learn how to be content. And I'll share this with you. I recently lost my job. And I worked so hard last year. But I had some attendance issues. And the majority of it was my fault. And when I was trying to do my best, the moment I was on time, I was more than early, I was unprepared. And I left like my badge. And if you don't have your badge, there's no way you can clock in. And so going back home to grab the badge made me late the last couple times, and that was the last straw. And you say, "Well, why would you bring that up? And that was your fault." Well, of course, for one, that was one reason why I could bear it. First, knowing that it was pretty much my fault. Secondly, in trying to find another job, it can be frustrating because the job that I had, It was a decent job. It didn't pay a whole lot of money, but over time, it was one of those jobs that it pays well over time. And it literally, you have to work overtime to get paid well. But I worked so hard last year. I was at work all the time. I was always at work. But at the same time, it wasn't enough time for me to do what I needed to do, to do what I was called to do, because a lot of my time was wrapped up working the job. But as this issue of me not having a job, even for probably the last month, and then I'll go further than that, moving to Dallas for ministry from California, I still have my California driver's license, right? So it makes it difficult to apply for unemployment. And so you would say, "Well, okay, why don't you just get your license?" Well, do you understand the Texas DMV waiting period? There's like a 3-month to 4-month wait on average. So I had to be content, because as long as I had a job, it wasn't that big of a problem. But it became a bigger problem when I'm no longer working. And so I had to be content and be comfortable in this discomfort. Like, "Lord, I don't know what to do now, other than what I know to do as it relates to my calling and to creating and doing, you know, what I love to do on the side. But that's That's not gonna, I can't be like this. Lord, it cannot be like this. I have to, I need something. What, Lord, help me, please. This goes back to my opening question of this episode. Was that, have you ever prayed for comfort? Have you ever prayed for comfort to only realize that your breakthrough was in your going through? That your comfort was only going to be given to you by faith? I know, and I really didn't intend for the podcast to be super, super duper scripture based, but I can't help it. I can't help it. It's just where he's leading me in this episode. And I hope that everybody can really take from this. That not only some of the things that we have to deal with, not only some of the things that we have to endure are from our own actions, but are also from things that we're just going to be faced with in general because we have to. It's a part of the human experience. You don't get an exit. You don't get a free pass from tribulation. You don't get a free pass from various trials and circumstances. You don't get a pass. Your body doesn't even get a pass from a simple cold or allergies or and not everybody have allergies. Like, I don't have allergies, but I do have allergies when it comes to pollen and stuff like that. Just natural stuff. I sneeze a lot and that's about it. My eyes get itchy and, you know, but we don't get a pass. Like, everybody has had a cold at some point in their life. At some point, everybody has had something that they dealt with in physical form, bodily, some bodily issues, some cardiovascular issues, something. We've all had to deal with it and still deal with it today. But we can't lose sight of the fact that we get through these things by faith and by actually going through it to endure it. You have to endure it. And how do you endure it? By letting patience have her perfect work. And stop praying for comfort in these situations because we're supposed to go through it. If anything, we should just be praying for strength. And you could pray for more patience and pray for wisdom. Because in James chapter 1, after those couple of verses, James goes into it and he says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask for it, for the Lord will give it to you freely. He won't hold it back from you. He'll give it to you. But when you ask for it, you must ask with faith that is not wavering. You got to ask for it with faith that is not wavering. You can apply this to your hardships by truly relying on the Lord and his strength. Because when I am weak, then I am strong. Why? Because in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. That is what it means to rely on him. That is what it means to be dependent upon him. Being okay with the discomfort. Because in my discomfort, I am growing. In my discomfort, I've learned not to complain, because when I complain, it doesn't help anything. It reminds me of when Jesus said, can any person add to his life? Can you add to your life by worrying about tomorrow? Jesus said this in Luke chapter 12. I want to pull it up. Luke chapter 12, verse 25 and 26. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? That's what I was getting at. Who can do that? Who can add an hour to your life by worrying? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? When the testing of your faith is producing the patience that you need for the rest of your life, we're going to have ups and downs. Good people, we're going to have ups and downs. And so one of the ways that we can stay reminded is through, of course, praying, right? We always got to pray. We got to pray without ceasing. And community. And that's what I build on. That's what I've been building, not only in our church, but also on my YouTube channel, Means. Fellow is a person in the same position, involved in the same activity, or otherwise associated with another. A fellow is a person in the same position. In other words, we're in the same boat. We're going through similar storms. Your storm might be it might be raging a little bit worse than mine. My storm might be raging a little bit worse than yours. Our storms might not be the same, but it's still a storm. The wind might be blowing more harder for you than it is for me, but but the waters are raging. And then there's somebody else going through these big waves. Nevertheless, it's still a storm. We're sharing in the fellowship of tribulation and trials and circumstances. And so we must find it. We must count it all joy. We just got to count it all joy. I know you can get through it. And that's the purpose of this podcast. The Soul Fuel Podcast is the fuel for your soul. The fuel for your soul, so that you can continue with drive for this journey in Christ as you live your life. This podcast is for people who are going through the challenges. This podcast is for the people in the trenches. This podcast is for people that really love the Lord, that really want to do better, that really want to live their life in a way that's pleasing in His sight. And even if somebody is listening right now that does not believe and say, I don't understand this whole Jesus thing. I don't get it. Well, listen, keep listening. And I pray that the Lord will give you an understanding so that you can join us in the ship. Because in order for us to really be on the same page, we got to be in the same position. The position of believing, being involved in the same activity of loving one another, being associated with nothing but believers, because that's who and what He called us to do. With that being said, as I wrap this thing up, I want to thank you for joining me on this journey and listening in to this episode, this very first episode of the Soul Fuel Podcast. If this episode has touched your heart or sparked something within you, I have a small but significant request. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, be it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else, please take a moment to leave us a review. Leave us a review. Your feedback not only helps me to grow and improve, but also helps others find the Soul Fuel Podcast. It helps them find this soul fuel, this fuel for the soul they might be searching for. Come on, I want you to share your thoughts, your reflections, on how today's message has impacted you, and if there's someone you know who could use a bit of some soul fuel or fuel for the soul, don't hesitate to share this podcast with them. Don't hesitate to share this episode. Together, let's spread the warmth, the wisdom, and the word of God far and wide. I love you. Until next episode, peace.